Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If you're a single woman listening to the show right now, are you familiar with the 3-date rule? Most single men are, but many single women might not be. The 3-date rule has been around for at least 3 or 4 decades, and it is based on the premise that if a woman does not agree to have sex with a man by no later than the 3rd date or one-on-one interaction, it is in the man's best interest to leave that woman alone and begin pursuing a new casual sex conquest. Is this rule simply silly and outdated, or is it a rule that many single men in society still swear by? Tonight, I will open the phone lines once again for another interesting open forum discussion about the 3-date rule and anything and everything else related to casual sex, and Steve Harvey's rule that a woman should make a man wait at least 90 days before becoming intimate with him. Joining me for this discussion tonight is none other than the handsome, charming, and charismatic L. Albert Butler, better known as Al B. in the Afternoon on WURD 900 AM radio in Philadelphia. And in just a few moments, Al B. and my most outspoken listeners are about to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
Gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a party like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck, cause that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to feel the bug, I'm in the having sex. I ain't in the making love, so come give me a hug. If you're in the getting rough, you can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to feel the bug, I'm in the having sex. I ain't in the making love, so come give me a hug. If you're in the getting rough, when I pull up out front, you see the Benz on jug. When I roll 20 deep, it's always drama in the club. Yeah, I heard I roll with Dre, everybody show me love. When you sell like them and them, you get plenty of groupie love. But homie, ain't nothing changed. Roll down, G's up, I see exhibit in the cutting.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, June 11th. And if my voice sounds a little warpy, wobbly, whatever, it's because I have a bit of a head cold tonight. This change in weather is killing me. I mean, it's like it'll be 12 noon. I mean, it'll be 75 degrees at 12 noon, and then by 7 p.m. it'll be 55 degrees. So anyway, I got another case of a head cold. But tonight we're going to tackle the always controversial and highly debatable topic of casual sex. Casual sex. Can women handle casual sex? Do men emphasize casual sex way too much? Should there ever be any rules or code of ethics to casual sex between a single man and a single woman? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And in a bit, I have a very entertaining radio personality joining me to help sort things out. But first, the next few weeks of my show will be full of sex, and eroticism. So watch out. Next week, I will have a talented filmmaker by the name of Deidre Timmons. Deidre Timmons will be on the show next week. She has an independent film entitled A Wink and a Smile. A Wink and a Smile. And A Wink and a Smile deals with the art of striptease dancing and or what is formerly known as burlesque dancing. So that will be my guest next week. Following week, I will have book author Esther Perel on my show to discuss the idea of unlocking our erotic intelligence. Unlocking our erotic intelligence. Then, 3 weeks from tonight, I will have a well-known sexologist by the name of Dr. Yvonne K. Fulbright, who will join me to talk about, sex toys for women and female masturbation. Now, you know, back in 2007, I had, under my old show, Balls Out Talk with Mo 1, my more provocative, risque show, I actually had this same topic, and it was off the chain, and I actually got a letter from Blog Talk Radio saying, Alan, you're nasty. And so, but that's 3 weeks from tonight. Yvonne K. Fulbright will be
joining me. Let me give some love to my chat room, some chat room listeners. As always, Adrian, my good friend from Columbus, Ohio, otherwise known as Diva 362636. Got about three or four guests in the house. Hypert is a loyal listener of mine. Hypestyle, my younger cousin, Christopher Curry from Detroit. Got Song 377. Other shout-outs would be Stephen Curry. That's my older brother and ace confidant. My cousins, Jason P. Jones, at the ball. Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, whose daughter, Paris, just graduated from high school. One of the top honor students in the state of Washington. That's right. Paris Pulliam, give it up for my other road dogs in L.A., Tim Beverly, young lady by the name of Kimberly Rice, Gordon Chu, Javonna Mitchell, Kathy Holloway Hill, Will Wavy on the Blog Talk Radio Network, Steve the Dean Williams, the Lovologist. Lovologist had a controversial show on Sunday. He said he's leaving Blog Talk Radio. We shall see. NBA Finals is going on right now. Game number four. Game number four of the NBA Finals. Right now, the Lakers are up two games to one. Two games to one. The Lakers are up, but Orlando did win game three. Orlando did. Who thinks Orlando can come back? Who thinks Orlando can come back? I think if they win tonight, they can possibly mount a comeback. They can possibly mount a comeback. But they're up right now 43-35 over the Lakers. And this should be an interesting contest. And, yeah, I'm just excited to see how this whole series unfolds. Now, do you know your president, President Obama, is involved in a controversy over, of all things, his shoes? There's a photo of Barack Obama with his shoe, his feet up on the desk while he's talking to the, I want to say the Israeli prime minister, and people feel that that is an insult because in their culture you cannot show your soles of your shoes. That is considered insulting, so there's like a controversy brewing. Speaking of controversy, David Letterman and Sarah Palin got a controversy going on over a joke that David Letterman cracked about Sarah Palin's daughter. Yeah, it's a whole big mess. So that should be interesting. Chastity Bono. Now, you got to – I'm going to date myself here, but if you know who Chastity Bono is, Chastity Bono is the daughter of Sonny Bono and Cher. There used to be an old show called Sonny and Cher, and they got a daughter, but they only have a daughter for a few more days because she's actually about to become a man. Ain't that something? She's going to change her gender from a female to a male. Wow. I just like to formally say to Chastity, welcome to the penis side of the gender coin. Yes, once you get your penis, things are just going to change. Your whole mindset going to change when you get a penis, because penis is different from the other P word. It's just different. So, yes, us men will welcome Chastity Bono from being a woman to a man. A show that I appeared on, Mike and Juliet, the morning show with Mike and Juliet, it's running. This is the last month for that show. I'm saddened by that. And I actually didn't know that. It turns out they announced it back in January and February. But I made an appearance on that show last August. But they have been canceled. And this month, end of the month, will be their last show. Supposedly, Rihanna and Chris Brown have NBA seats together. Okay, enough said. Moving on, a female porn star got infected by HIV. And I don't know if you know about the porn industry, but they will shut the whole industry down when somebody becomes infected. And, yes, news came out today that a female porn star got infected with HIV/AIDS. And so they're going to have to make sure that everybody she had sex with in the last couple weeks, you know, is healthy. Now, a lot of people don't know. A lot of people say, oh, porn industry, they're smiling, they're disease-filled. Actually, porno stars are some of the cleanest people on earth. They get tested for HIV an average of once every 30 to 45 days. They get tested for all other diseases like chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea an average of once every 60 to 90 days. They're cleaner than the average American single man, American single woman, because stats show that the average person in this society only gets tested about once a year, at most twice a year, and that's being very generous. But most of us normal folk, we don't get tested nearly as frequently as those in the adult film industry. So, but yeah, that's why this is a big thing in the porn industry. When somebody comes up with something like HIV, that has the potential to shut the whole industry down. But, you know, you got to be clean in order to have sex with multiple partners, multiple partners. And speaking of multiple partners, joining me tonight to discuss the always provocative topic of casual sex is a radio personality from Philadelphia who has a national following. He believes he is here to change the face of talk radio. Born to the son of a black civil rights activist from New York City and white Quaker from rural North Carolina, my guest for the evening's diverse and radically varied life experiences have shaped his character and the content of his radio program, one of the youngest daily talk show hosts in the country. My guest this evening effortlessly moves from the subjects of world affairs and national politics to pop culture and sports, but his most popular segment is Relationship Wednesday, where he and his guests break down various issues of the heart. That sounds similar to my show, upfront and straightforward. I like this brother already. Known for his unique perspectives and strong opinions, my guest this evening has appeared on Comcast, CN8, and local affiliates for Fox and NBC. In fact, my guest star is rising so rapidly that Philadelphia Weekly named him the next force in talk radio. And the Philadelphia Tribune proclaimed him one of 10 people to watch in 2006. And I'm going to go ahead and say in 2007, in 2008, in 2009, although often singled out for his engaging intellect and personality, my guest has been frequently noted by his adoring female fans for his looks and sex appeal. Matter of fact, the Philadelphia Daily News featured him as a sexy single, and Urban Insight dubbed him simply the sexiest man alive. Do I really want this man on my show? Man, he gonna steal all my female listeners. Hey, listeners, give it up for Mr. L. Albert Butler, a.k.a. LB in the afternoon.
You're higher, man.
What is up, LB?
I don't know. After that intro, man, you definitely my man. we going on tour.
Hey, man. Dude, you know, I get beef with you because you've been causing a ruckus. Man, I've been having my female listeners write me talking about that you going to be that baby daddy and all
no.
that stuff. They like, oh, they just, women like, I want to just get pregnant by him this week. I'm like, calm down. But, hey, brother, I'm glad to have you on my show.
Oh, man.
Now, you were born in North Carolina, but you raised most of your life in Philadelphia.
First of all, I was. But, man, let me say it's a pleasure to be with you, man, and I'm honored that you even would think of having me on. So thank you for that.
Oh.
I was born in North Carolina, but my folks got separated when I was a little kid, like 3 or 4 years old, and then my mom moved to Philly when I was 5. So I've been here most of my life since.
Now, not only do you entertain the folks, which is talk radio show and various topics, but in your community, you've spoken at numerous schools and you speak to community groups. Can you briefly tell my listening audience about that?
Well, I love the kids, man, and anything I can do for kids, I will. I coach high school track at the high school that I went to, and I guess from when I first started doing school stuff, probably was like early 2002 around there when I was producing for a morning show at another station, and people just were saying, well, you mind coming in and talking to our kids and anyone says that, and you know, if they want me to come do something, and they mention kids, I'm pretty much there. So whatever I can do, I have a, I don't know, I feel like between kids and animals, there's always a connection there with me. So I'm there front and center, and you know, it's a pleasure for me to give back. And I know a lot of times folks aren't always quick to do that or whatever, but it was important for me. I always promised myself when I was a kid, if I ever had the opportunity to talk to other kids, I was a kid who could have gone a bunch of different ways. And I had good upbringing. It wasn't one of those things. But I was always in trouble. You know, I was always in the principal's office and that kind of thing. And I was a bad student. I didn't focus. My report cards all said Albert, you know, loses focus quickly, and you know, he disrupts his classmates and doesn't focus on his work. But if he applied himself, he could be a good student. Blah blah blah. I think that was my report card from kindergarten to about ninth grade. I think that was every report card.
Wow.
So it took the intervention of some older folks, mostly coach type people, that interacted with me, helped me get my head on straight. And then finally, I guess around 10th or 11th grade, I figured it out and was able to change it around. But not only because there were adult and mostly men who were able to come and be an influence in my life. My father was around, but not every day. And so he was a part of that, but there were some other people along the way that filled in the gaps, and that was important. And I wanted to be that kind of person for other people so that those folks wouldn't fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear, brother. Now, what was your specialty in track?
I did the sprints and the hurdles, man. So from the 100, 200, and 400, and then I ran the long and short hurdles. And, of course, the mile relay. But I was not that fast.
quit being modest. Now, this is, I'm assuming. Now, I checked out your photos on your Facebook spread, dude. Man, now, I didn't tell you this before the show. But now that you came on my show, you have now signed an informal contract to give me health and fitness tips. Because, man, you all lean and cut, man. See, I'm the biggest yo-yo person in the world. It's like you catch me in July, I'm lean and athletic. You catch me in December, I look like Sherman Klump. And so, man, tell me like two foods that I need to stop eating, and you better not say chicken wings.
No, I definitely eat my chicken wings. For me, I found out that I was lactose intolerant, so I cut out dairy. And when I cut out dairy, to tell you the truth, man, I have to rewind for a second. I was 220 pounds. And I'm about 6 foot, so 220 doesn't sound terrible, but it was all in my face, neck, and stomach. And so I did not carry it well. And people saw pictures of me. They thought I was an offensive lineman. And, yeah, it was not a good look. And I saw a couple pictures of myself, and I was like, I gotta change this. So I had to go back and talk to my track coach, got some workouts, and started getting fit again. And then I had to change my eating habits, not necessarily what I ate, but how I ate it. Because
okay.
I was a type 2 at the time, man. I was,
what do you mean
I was,
you say change your eating habits? Not necessarily what you're eating, but your eating habits.
Right. I had a long-term girlfriend, mm-hmm. and we got real comfortable. You know how that is?
Yeah.
And so we got so comfortable that we'd be, you know, up in the bed, each of us with our own pint of Ben & Jerry's at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and would polish off the whole thing. So that was one of the things I had to stop doing. I had to stop doing that, and I had to stop eating. I had a habit of eating quickly, and sometimes I would overeat before I even realized I was full. And I changed my eating style that. And then I stopped eating real heavy stuff. You know, it depends on the weekend. Sometimes you might be out kicking it. That's a little different. But for your everyday kind of living, I stopped eating after 8, 9 o'clock. And I try to keep my carbs in the latter part of the day. Nothing really carb-heavy after 2 p.m. unless I have a workout planned. Mm-hmm. And I try to keep that thing going so that that stuff doesn't build up, because what happens is you get the carbs and that stuff sits there and your body doesn't process it. If you burn it, it's good. But if you don't do anything, you're eating the breads and having a lot of sweets, that stuff late, then that stuff just sits there.
So I should stop eating carbs after about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you're active. And I mean, if you're someone who is working to a certain point but likes to, like some people, you know, if they work a 9-to-5 and they like to get their workout on when they leave work, you can have carbs up until your last workout. but not if you work out in the morning, definitely not past 2 p.m.
Now, see, somebody just teased me in the chat room because I'm known for my show. There's two things I love. I love chicken wings, and I love peach schnapple. And somebody just put in the chat room, Allen, you got to cool out on the peach schnapple because it got too much sugar. But
it does, man. I had to, you know, I pick and choose, and sometimes I go through spurts because I'm not someone who has the willpower to just cut stuff out. Like, I'm from Philly. I still enjoy my cheesesteaks and my pizza. In fact, I had some pizza tonight. And I just know that my body can't take that on a regular basis. So I have to pick and choose my moments. And there are some times when I'll cut out liquor for like a month. If, you know, I got a beach vacation coming up, I know for about a month I'll give up drinking. And then I'll be ready for the beach. And then when the beach comes, then I can get my drink on.
I heard that.
But I never, you know, well, people, one of the things that they do out that's kind of destructive is people say, well, I'm never going to do this again. And they give up, they say they're going to give up some food. And then they have the food, and then they tear themselves up for saying, I mean, I said I was going to cheat. I mean, I said I was going to give this up, and now I'm cheating, and I'm not doing this right. And then they start getting down on themselves, and then they don't follow through. So to be realistic, you got to understand that there's certain things that you love. You still should have those things. You just have to be able to moderate them. And if you can get that under control and realize that, hey, I can have, instead of having my cheesesteak every Friday, I had my cheesesteak once a month. And doing things like that was really allowed me to get down. And in fact, right now I weigh less than I did when I was in high school. High school, I was like 180. I'm like 175 now. So.
Wow, that's very rare when a guy can say he weighs less
than
he did in high school. Wow. Okay. Now, before we get into our interesting topic of the night, and first I want to remind my listeners, this is a show where I'm going to have the phone lines open, 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. But right before I get into this subject about casual sex and the three-day rule, I see that you've interviewed a lot of notable figures.
Yeah, like Megan Good.
Megan Good. Lynn Whitfield, Danny Glover, Bill Cosby, Mayor John Street. I see you've interviewed our president. How was that?
It was, I'm not sure how it went, Al. I wish I could tell you, man. I really don't remember.
That long ago, huh?
No, it went by so fast, and I was really nervous.
Okay.
So it was the Pennsylvania primaries, and all week, you know, they had been talking, the Barack Obama people and the Hillary Clinton people have been calling our station and sending us folks to interview, you know, folks like Hill Harper or forget the young lady's name, but she played Pam on The Cosby Show. She was one of the younger kids that came later on in the program. But anyway, they just send us different people who, you know, people know from Hollywood and have seen in movies or TV shows to talk for their particular candidate that they were pushing. And then at the end they said, hopefully we'll be able to get you Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, you know, depending. And so Hillary Clinton ended up calling the morning show, and she did that interview. And so then they said Barack Obama's going to call my show. And I'd heard things like this before, and they didn't follow through. Like, half the guests that they scheduled for us didn't show through. They didn't come on. So it was like, wow, okay, so Barack Obama's really not going to call me. So I started my show, and I had a kind of, if he does call, I had like a couple of questions in my mind that I might ask him, but knowing really he wasn't going to call, I didn't really put anything down on paper. So then my producer gives me the head nod and said, you know, he's on the line. I was like, who's on the line? He showed me a little piece of paper and said, Obama. I was like, oh. So then, you know, he came on, and I didn't even say his name. I said, good afternoon to you, sir. And he said, sir, how are you doing? And then I had my first question that I remembered. I wrote it down while he was talking, his quick introduction. I asked him that question. And then as he was answering that, I then came up with the questions to ask the rest of the time. So I actually don't even remember what he said because I wasn't listening because I was trying to come up with the next question to ask so I wouldn't have dead air. So I can tell you that the whole interview ended up lasting 7 minutes and 57 seconds, and people said it was good. But I haven't listened to it myself. I'm actually a little nervous to listen to the interview.
Oh, man, well, if you ever post that on your site or whatever – I want to listen to that. And
You can listen to it, man. It's on my it's actually on my MySpace page.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, if you go to myspace.com/MrMidday, it's on there. It's on. I have a music player. I have my intro, and I have my Barack Obama interview. So if you ever want to check it out, you can. I'm too scared.
Man, you know, it's funny you bring up no disrespect to MySpace. I ain't been on MySpace in, woo! Because all my friends, 99% of my friends who do the social networking thing are on Facebook.
Man, you don't even tell me. At one point, I was on MySpace, and I was like, man, I feel like I'm in the last house in a foreclosed neighborhood. I'm like, it was like everybody had packed up and left, and I was the last one in the block. It was like, hello? 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 I noticed everyone had moved to Facebook. So, yeah, I'm like you. I'm mostly on Facebook. I do have my page still there, and every once in a while I update. I check it about twice a week now, whereas I used to check it every 5-10 minutes.
You sound like myself. folks, again, the number. I'm going to get ready to take a quick intermission, let my guest Al B get a swig of water. But when I come back, start writing your questions and comments for this subject we're going to tackle. Yes, that's right, casual sex. We're going to talk about casual sex in general. Specifically, though, a couple things. One is the three-date rule. The three-date rule. If you don't know what that is, I will explain that when I come back from the intermission break. And also, a little later, we're going to talk about a similar rule by another radio personality and book author, Steve Harvey. He emphasizes in his book the 90-day rule. So I want to get your thoughts. I'm going to get Al B's thoughts. And don't go anywhere. I will be right back after this intermission break.
Sound off now.
Do you enjoy great music? Do you want to sound off on the issue? Can you handle the truth through real talk, uncensored? If so, join me for the Sound Off Now show. The Sound Off Now show airs weekly on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Real life, real talk, real issues. Again, that's every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern at www.blogtalkradio.com/sound-off-now. Thanks, and I'll see you there. Hold up. I almost forgot about Friday nights. Hey, what's good, family? This your man, S-O-N, again. Look, after a hectic week of work and Blog Talk Radio shows, meet me on Fridays at 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time for one of the hottest online parties on the World Wide Web. That's right, Club S-O-N, featuring one of the wildest chat rooms on the net. Check out your man, S-O-N, as I mix new and old school hip-hop, R&B, neo-soul, house, go-go, live from the Blog Talk Radio switchboard, while you enjoy all of your favorite BTR personalities in the chat room. Again, that's Club S-O-N, Friday, 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. I will see you there.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310, you are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me.
I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my open forum discussion about casual sex, the three-date rule, and Steve Harvey's 90-day rule on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. If you're just tuning in, tonight we're going to be talking about various aspects of casual sex between single men, single women, and with particular emphasis on a couple of rules. One is a long-standing rule. It's been around as long as I can remember, and it's employed by many single men in today's dating scene. It's what's known as the three-date rule. What is the three-date rule, you ask? Three-date rule is essentially when a guy says if he doesn't get the poo nanny in his third, by no later than his third one-on-one interaction with a woman, he's going to dump her, leave her alone, and start looking for new female companionship. I see it a lot, quite frankly, on different message boards, different blogs, in association with, even with my book, a lot of guys, when they ask me questions or make comments related to my book, they will say, Alan, you know, I want Mode 1 to work for me within the first three dates. Otherwise, I'm done. So I'm going to ask you, Al, be in the afternoon, have you ever, we'll put you on the spot, have you ever, from the, say, roughly the age of 17 up until now, at any point in time ever employed the three-date rule with a woman?
Well, first of all, when I was a young boy, I was just so happy to get some. It wouldn't have mattered when it came. honestly, when it comes to rules, man, I'm not a firm believer. The only real rule I have is no kissing on the first date.
Really?
Yeah, I don't believe in that because I feel like it can set people up. And I came up with that rule myself after going in to kiss a girl, and she backpedaled like a free safety in a 3-deep zone. And I was like, okay, well, clearly I misread that signal, so I ain't even going to try that no more. So now I just pretty much hang back on the first date and play it by ear. But I think when it comes to having a rule, like a 3-date rule, I think you can mess yourself up. I think the time you should have sex when two people are mutually ready to do it and not any time before that. And I think that's what you, and I think sometimes you have rules and you might miss out on something. And I think that goes for women too, with their silly rules. But, I've never had a rule where there was 3-day, but I have had a rule. I do have another rule.
Okay.
Can I share it with you?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. The rule I do have is, and I'm not quite sure how to say this and what I can and can't say.
Oh, be upfront and straightforward on my show.
I'm just worried about the language.
Oh,
but,
go ahead. You got the license.
Okay, so I do have a rule of three physical romantic encounters. It don't have to be sex, but it's three physical romantic encounters, and she hasn't gone down yet. That's a problem. That could be a deal breaker.
So you say, by
if we've
the
been
third
naked, if
physical
we've been,
encounter, she got to give you a blowjob.
Yeah, I'm saying that because if she don't have to, but I want her to want to. And if she don't want to by the third time, odds are she doesn't do it. And if she don't do it, then it's a wrap. Because for me, it's one of those things where it's necessary to continue. But when I say physical encounter, I mean, you know, we've been, you know, messing around and we have seen each other naked, you know, that kind of thing. I don't mean like we kissed twice and now I expect it to go. I don't mean like that. But, you know, you haven't necessarily had sex. You may have had sex. You may not have had sex. But three times when you guys have been naked in front of each other, if it has not happened, then it's probably not going to happen. So it's not going to work.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, I mean, I know some fellows who have similar rules to that. Now, okay, stepping away from yourself for a second, have you had any close male friends or even just casual male acquaintances that have ever discussed the 3-day rule with you?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. It's something guys do.
And were they hardline about it or are they kind of loose about it?
It depends. There were some, you know, there's always that guy in everybody's crew is like, look, she ain't giving it to me. Is that one guy who's clearly out to get it that first night. And if he don't get it that first night, he's a little disgruntled, mm-hmm. let alone if they don't make it in time to the 3. But I have a couple of buddies who fit in that range. But most of my guy friends are, if it hasn't happened by 3, the radar is up. It's not necessarily a deal breaker, but they're like, you know, if this don't go down soon, then they might have to move on. I do have another friend, though, who's on the opposite end of that, who's like, he won't even think about it inside of, he doesn't use dates, though. He uses time frame, like a month. He's like, I'm not going to have sex with you inside a month. I got to find out where your head is first. So I do have one guy friend who goes the other direction.
Now, let me ask you kind of this interesting, kind of general but interesting question. Because a lot of men I know have made the argument that compared to the average man, that women, because of their emotional DNA, cannot even handle casual sex. Do you think women can handle casual sex in the same way as men, or is it just always, you know, is just a recipe for emotional ups and downs with women?
I think you're right, man. I think it's more of a recipe for disaster, man. You know, I think there are women. You might get 2 or 3 out of 10 women that can handle not having significant emotional attachments during sex. But for the most part, even if they say that they don't have emotional attachment, that might be true maybe the first couple of times. But if you guys are actually having sex on a regular basis, say over a month or 2 period, attachment is made. And then all that other stuff goes out the window. And then the guy sees that and is like, well, what's going on? And she then wants to change the script. And you're like, well, we said it was going to be casual. And, you know, you knew what it was. And it's like, yeah, well, she wanted to change the program because she thought maybe she could change you. And, you know, there's a lot of times when people try to change things in midstream and that never works.
Yeah, because I'm going to go ahead and put something out. My business out on this show, as I've done before, I was dealing with a young lady not too long ago, let's say in the last 3 months. And we first got to talking, she said, it was her now, Albie, it was her. She initiated by saying, she said, Alan, I just want she called it a slutty buddy. She said, I just
want. Wow. She got friends?
We were cool, man. We had known each other, I would say prior to getting intimate, we had probably known each other year and a half, but we didn't have very frequent interactions up to that point. It's kind of sporadic interactions. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk more frequently. She said, you know, I'm looking for a slutty butt. So I definitely had my hand raised like Horseshack. Ooh, okay. So... anyway, you know, we start operating like, using her term, slutty buddy. Mm-hmm. But then starting with about 3 to 4 weeks into the slutty buddies, she says, she starts calling me and just talking about her date. You know, that
violation.
You know,
violation right
like,
there.
Oh, yeah, and I did this today, and my boss was getting on my nerves.
And you're looking at the phone like, what?
Exactly. You see, you feel me? I'm like, okay. Yeah, I like that term used to violate. To me, that's how I felt. I was like, okay, this is a violation of the slutty buddy code. And the
completely.
First couple times I let it go, though, But then, prior with the third conversation like that, I said, okay, hold up. I said, this is not a slutty buddy conversation. This is almost treading towards boyfriend-girlfriend type conversation. And she got an attitude, man. And
yes,
next thing I know, next couple calls, she had attitude. Then she going to try to, as you alluded to, changing the game midstream. She said, okay, Alan, this is what I really want. I want a slutty buddy who cares.
What? There's no such thing.
That's an oxymoron.
It's like saying, I want a straight gay guy. It don't happen.
Basically.
You can't get that.
Yeah, she said she wants a slutty buddy who cares.
Mm-mm.
And so, needless to say, we ended up falling out. But before we kind of went our separate ways, we got into a discussion about a lot of stuff I wanted to touch on tonight because, and particularly the question I asked you initially, can women handle it? Because I basically told her, I said, you know, and I was generalizing, of course, I know there's exceptions, but I said, I don't think most women can handle casual sex. Unless, the only exception I found is there are some women, usually older women, who have, say, been through a number of serious relationships, they might have even been married two or three times. And they just get to a point, seriously, they as now they call these women, you know, well, I was going to say cougars, but that's probably not the most appropriate term. But a lot of these older women who are reaching their sexual peak, they will say, hey, I just want some dick. I ain't trying to have no emotional attachment and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But that faction aside, it seems to me that a lot of women, they'll start, I'll say this, just like a lot of men, a lot of times will pretend to want a long-term serious relationship when they actually want casual sex. A lot of women will do just the opposite. They'll pretend as though they're content with casual sex when they really want something more long-term.
And they think that they'll be able to change the mind, whereas the men don't feel like they're going to be, they don't need to worry about changing the mind because all they really want is the ass anyway, and then when they get it, then they can roll out.
There you go. Area code 301-301, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest for the evening, L. Albert Butler, otherwise known as Al B. in the Afternoon. What is your question or comment?
I really didn't have a question or comment, but I really think the whole three-date rule is played out and no one really follows it. I think it's just a cover for women so that they feel that they're not coming out as a total slut. They want to put some kind of constraints and rules in place in order to not put themselves out there. But if your game is tight and your words are right, they're there that night.
Now, wait a minute. I got to challenge this for a second because you made that comment almost with the assumption that it's the women implementing the three-date rule, but in most cases,
no.
The men
are
the ones who...
All right. No. Let's be honest, and it's between the fellas. No one else is listening. It's just
okay,
us.
Okay, just the fellas.
All right. and by the way, my name is 6ix9ine. I'm in the D.C., Washington, D.C., metropolitan area.
Oh, 6ix9ine from Facebook. I know you. Okay.
Yeah. So if women are sitting over there, and they're saying three-day rule. Men, we're men. We know most men. Honestly, when we go through the dates and all of that, we don't want to hear an inane conversation. We don't want to sit there and, you know, let's, you know, feel each other out. I don't want to get to know you. We're hunters. We want to get down, get dirty, and get there. And we go through that because, come on now, most fellas are not going to sit here and say, no, I just wanted to sit down and go to a nice candlelit restaurant and enjoy the ambiance. You do that to get to where you want to be. And you go through the three-day rule just to get there. So, you know, if we're being men and we're being honest, no, we don't go through all this stuff and we don't have all these rules in place. Yeah, every man, you know, says that they, I want to be in a monogamous relationship, but there is nothing as good as some pussy besides new pussy. And excuse my phrasing.
Tell me how you really feel, 6ix9ine.
No. Hey, you know, if you've been on Facebook with me, you know I just, hey, I'll play the extreme role and everything, but let's be real about it. You know, every man is getting into a relationship. We're just, hey, no, baby, it's all about you and everything. But let's say you've been there for 10 years and you've been doing the same thing every day, and that fine woman walks up and she wants to give it to you. Ain't nothing like some good pussy besides some new pussy.
Now, you know, 6ix9ine, you're getting a couple of women in my chat room riled up. They like,
I'm not able to be on the chat right now, man. So, you know, you're going to have to let me know. I know that they're getting upset, but that's all right. I'm just telling it like it is. Men don't want to sit down and have a conversation.
6ix9ine, do you hold it against women if they do give it up to you fast?
Do I hold it against women? No.
Because some women don't want to do it. Some women have their artificial rules because, you know, they'll say, well, I'm not going to sleep with a guy within, you know, the first month because I don't want him to think I'm easy. If a woman ends up doing that, do you instantly dismiss her as just being easy and you move on to the next target? Or is that someone that, if she was the right one, you still could get serious about?
That depends. If I'm looking for a monogamous relationship and I'm looking for, this is the one, I have, you know, in my stable, ride or die chicks. Right off the rip, you know, we know it's true and we know it's right. And I can appreciate a woman being honest and saying, look, I just look at you and I want you and I'm getting what I want. I respect that and I love it. I actually, if somebody is sitting over there, 3-day rule, blah, 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 that's some weak stuff and they've been listening to their girlfriends and I'm going to have to deal with that later on down the road. So I'd prefer someone, yeah, give it to me. If you want it, if you want this, take it. Let me know.
Now, do you have a time limit on when you're willing to wait to get it?
Oh, I'll wait as long as it takes. It can be 2 years, but I'll just keep it moving and do what I'm going to do on the side. I mean, you know, I'm going to be honest about it. You know, I'm not going to sit here, look, all right, cool, you want to wait and you want to learn and get to know me and everything? That's a really great thing. Yes, get to know me. I'm a lot of man and, you know, hey, love me. There's a lot to get to know, and it's going to take you some time to get there. But when you get right down to it, you're only going to get to know me as much as I let you. And if you tick me off and I can't get what I want down the road, it's going to be, all right, I'll play my position. I'll wait it out. But sooner or later, when you finally give it to me, you might have messed up because you made me wait
so
long. Or I might have bet that one.
Mm-hmm,
now, real quick, well, I got a question for you, 6ix9ine. But before that, okay. LB, that was a good question because I've talked about that both on my show and just in casual conversation. I do criticize my own gender about this, is that when there's a lot of men who will basically put the pressure on a woman to have sex with them as quickly as possible, but then after they get the ass, they'll turn around and do the locker room kiss and tell routine, call a woman all kinds of hoe and slut and whatever. So, and then they want to ask, why do women become undercover freaks and exhibit sexually duplicitous behavior? It's because you're going around running your mouth. And so that was an interesting question,
yeah.
LB, when you asked them, you know, would you pass judgment on a woman who does give it up quick? Because that's where I tend to criticize, you know, other guys. But 6ix9ine, I wanted to ask you, I had a show here about 3-4 weeks ago that dealt with platonic friendships and asking, can a single man and single woman maintain a platonic friendship indefinitely? And of course, most of the women said yes, vast majority of the men said no. I'm going to ask you a similar question. Do you think a single man, single woman can maintain this new age thing called a friends with benefits relay, where you mostly friends, but you exchange orgasms, you know, every so often at your convenience? Do you think that can exist indefinitely, or you think that's a recipe for problems and disaster?
All right, I'm going to put on my radio voice now. All right, if a man and a woman are intimate with each other at any point in their relationship, and then they decide, hey, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go our separate ways, so on and so forth, you always have a piece of them. You cannot hold on to a friends with benefits relationship indefinitely, because sooner or later, somebody is actually going to get feelings. Somebody is going to be in that place in their life where they need that friend, that companion. So when you might go to get your benefits, that woman might sit there and be like, well, you know what? I just broke up with my man, and I'm ready for a relationship, and we've been friends for so long. You know, why don't we, you know, explore it? It always happens. And inevitably, somebody will sit there and they will want more. So the, you know, bedroom buddy, friends with benefits, all that kind of thing, it's a temporary situation. It's a temporary solution. It'll get you through whatever rough time you're going through and everything until you can find that one and all that. But it's a temporary thing. Sooner or later, you're going to give it a shot on, let's see what a real relationship is like. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work out.
Al B, have you ever had a friends with benefits relationship, or if not, do you think they can?
Oh, no, I definitely. They are definitely keys to making it through certain periods of your life, just 6-9 said. I did have, the last one I had, she forgot who she was, and she missed out because, actually, if I break it down real quick, she went to, she had a house party. I came over as a guest. Her girlfriends, her closer girlfriends, knew who I was to her, but in general, not people didn't really know. Her next-door neighbor happened to be someone who I went to school with and had known since she was 17 years old. You know, we were in our, at the time, I was about 30. I'm about 36 now. So we'd known each other for a few years. And so we were talking pretty closely, but we had known each other. We had a lot of history as friends, nothing more. It wasn't anything physical between us, but we had, you know, we knew each other well. And so her girlfriend saw how we were talking and assumed something else was going on and then went to her and said, man, I can't believe Al is disrespecting you like this in your own house, blah, blah, blah. And then everyone left. I stayed because, you know, I figured. And then she told me, she's like, well, you know, I felt really uncomfortable because some of my friends came up to me and they told me that there was something between you two. It seemed like you guys were getting along a little too friendly. And how did you? I didn't like that because it was in my house and I feel disrespected, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you know, I told her. I'd known. It made it worse, too, because that was her sore roar. But I'd known the girl longer than she had. She might be sore roar, but we had a long-standing relationship. So I told her what the status relationship was. It wasn't like that. We were cool, and everything was all right. And that was that. And so she called me the next day and told me all that again and said she just wanted to be clear to make sure that never happened again. And I was like, cool, yeah, it'll never happen again. And I never called her again.
Wow.
That was it. I was like, I mean, that's it crossed the barrier. So even if we're friends with benefits, that's outside your purview. You know, that's not, even if I was kicking it to it, really, I mean, I may have been disrespectful to do it at a house, but it wasn't your place to do that because we don't have that kind of relationship. You don't have that kind of stake with me. So for her to not realize that, that's where it ended. That was my last friends with benefits relationship. And it was perfect until then because it was like, you know, break glass in case of emergency. Hey, I need you tonight. Can you come over? Sure. No problem.
Right.
You know.
That's just like women's always saying that, you know, having that, you know, as Monique put it, the dick in the glass case or Steve Harvey
mm-hmm.
or one of the comedians, you know. I mean, men have that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And most folks, and here, I'm not saying anything. It's LB, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm
yes.
not saying anything about that, but if somebody steps outside of their boundaries in that relationship, especially when it's a woman, you need to bust out the powder and get your pimp hand back.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thing is I just wasn't going to deal with it. So if that was something she was looking for, she wasn't going to get it from me anymore. So I wasn't going to play with the, you know, you have a position, you play it or you don't.
Right, right. And most folks
yeah.
don't know how to stay in their lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
or they get in their lane and then they start looking at the other lanes.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let me ask you two, on the flip side, we talk about friends with benefits, which is usually has connotations of a long-term, indefinite type thing. When do you think, I'll start with you, LB, when do you think that a one-night stand or a weekend fling, kind of a sexual interaction, I would say that goes no more than 3 or 4 days tops,
mm-hmm.
is not only beneficial for you to satisfy your immediate sexual urges, but is mutually beneficial for both? What kind of scenarios makes that a one-night stand or a weekend fling mutually beneficial for both parties involved?
Well, actually, I called Hallie after both breakups. Eric. Yeah, but she didn't accept. But I think that would have been the perfect time for her to do that. I was hoping she'd give in. I don't know.
I'm giving you virtual daps right now, LB. Virtual daps, bro. Go ahead.
I think those situations, it's tough because typically when those things go down, both people are in need of something, even if they don't express it. And there's usually a void. It's usually a shallow void. And it's something that it needs to, the people that are doing it feel an immediate need, and they feel like they have to deal with that at that moment, and they're open to that. Even if it's someone who has a string of one-night stands, it's still something that they're trying to fill, something from past relationship, maybe an issue in their childhood, whatever, but it's still something that they're trying to fill at that particular moment. And so I don't know that. I could say that it could be mutually beneficial in a certain scenario, but in the end, I think those are destructive for the long term. I mean, if it happens just every once in a while, it's not that big a deal. I think everybody has that, but if it's one of those things that happens over and over again, it could end up being more destructive than anything else.
Okay. 6ix9ine, okay. What's your thoughts on one-night stands and weekend flings?
My honest opinion?
And specifically, do you think what situations makes them mutually beneficial for both you and the woman involved?
Mutually beneficial. For me, it is basically, I'm a man. I hunt. It's all about procreation. So from a man's mentality, not from a man's mentality when women are listening, but from a man's mentality, we like conquering and procreating, and it's, you know, built into our DNA. So I disagree with LB as far as it being a sign that something is wrong. I think it's natural and it's the way we're built.
Oh, no, I think sex is natural. And I'm all about recreating. I'm all about recreating.
Monogamy is an unnatural state for us.
I wasn't arguing the point of that.
That's a strong statement, 6ix9ine. You're saying that's a strong statement.
Oh, I know, and hey, I stand firm. I'm a man, and I can agree to disagree with someone, but I think monogamy is an unnatural state. It's something that is forced on us, depending on your religious, political, social views, what the society believes is okay. And if you just break it down to what a man likes, when the fellas sit around talking, I've yet to sit around with men who are being honest, and it's just man talk, have them say, I'm just looking for that emotional connection. You know, I just want that one woman. No, if we can have 20 women that will love us and do us right and, you know, respect us and cater to us, we'll take 20.
That's different. That's on point, but that's different. That's different than having a weekend fling, because when you're talking about weekend flings, you're talking about interactions that last no more than – what do you say, Alan, like 72 hours or something like that?
Yeah, no more than 3 or 4 days.
Well, hold on.
You're talking about
–
yeah, but
no,
you're talking about
–
have 20
– is our way of trying to get more. We want them to come back. Mm-hmm. If our game is tight and we lay it down right, they come back even after that weekend flame, because we're that – excuse the expression, stick in the glass that they've been looking for. So if we lay it down correctly, we're the ones that they call.
Okay, but
but that's different than just having a series of interactions with women that you know are going to be short term, the short lived, and then you're not even necessarily looking for someone.
It's going to be short term.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily.
Don't,
but what I'm saying is that at least the question that I got from Alan was that is there something about having this sexual relationship with someone who is with you just for that moment, and then it's poof, it's gone. There is no revisiting. There is no even hope of revisiting. You're only doing it for that purpose.
Have you been to a club and you've had a few drinks and you see a woman that looks really attractive to you and you guys start talking and that vibe is going and, you know, that liquid courage goes and you put your game out and she says, all right, baby, come on. And that's a setup for a one-night stand or weekend fling. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
definitely if the woman initiates it, yeah.
All right. Well, no, even it doesn't matter who initiates it. If you sitting over there, hey, what's going on? I don't go to the club looking for a long-term relationship. And
well, I mean, I go to the place wherever I go, and I get whatever I get. I don't look for it one way or the other.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is, we know people when we see them from the break and from our initial interaction, even from the time that they say hello, we know that this is a person that is, if I do smash, that's it. It won't be no other times. I just want to hit. Or there are women that we hit or that we see that we like, man, I know I definitely would like to revisit this more than once. And then there are other women that we see and we're like, she could be someone who could be significant in my life. And so
really?
I'm not saying that there aren't people that, you know, we have the one-night stands or weekend flings. All that is beautiful. I've been to hedonism. So I know what you're talking about. But all that said, when it comes to certain things that you do, there are certain times you know that when you interact with a particular woman, that that's all you want from that woman. And in that case, what I'm saying is that that's your life. If
yeah,
that's all
you know,
see,
the McGillic gorillas
if,
that you,
that's what
you
I'm
know,
saying. If that's all you see, then that's not healthy. If all you see are the women that all you want to do is just smash and not have anything else beyond just the smash in that moment, and there are no other women that exist in your life, that's not healthy. That's all I'm saying.
All right, and that is, I concur with your statement there, but when it comes to, all right, if you had a couple drinks in you and it's the end of the night and you haven't really, you know, accelerated, you've been kicking it with your boys, you'll take a McGill gorilla. Yeah, you don't anticipate you won't be taking her around.
No.
Family.
No, but there are some fine women, too, that you would not spend more than 5 minutes with.
Oh, true, and that is true.
Yeah, she don't gotta be the back of a truck in order to get that kind of treatment.
No. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the fine fools. That's what I always say because I want a woman that's going to challenge my mind as well. Because I think even as a man, we want that intellectual stimulation. We want that challenge. We want all the other things that will get us to have an orgasm rather than a nut. But at the same time, when it depends on the venue that you're in. Those kind of things, as far as the benefits of having a one-night stand and is everybody benefiting, hell yeah, a woman's benefiting if she's having a one-night stand with me because she's going to have a couple orgasms to have some fun, you know, and I'm going to have the same thing. As far as that emotional, deep bonding relationship, that comes and goes. You know, I'm indifferent to that at this point. See, I'm one of those brothers, I've been married before, you know, all right, yeah. Hey, we did it for a while, but there's nothing like some new.
Hey, 6ix9ine, I'm gonna keep you on the line, but I'm gonna mute your mic, and I'll probably bring you in a little later for a couple more questions. But right now, I'm gonna take a second intermission break, and when I get back, I want to ask LB some more questions. Now, LB, you know I want to ask you about hedonism. You should have never said that. Dude, you know, bro. I've never been. I heard people, you know, go, and I want
to
know.
You got to be careful, man. That's all I'm gonna say. You have to be careful. Remember that story you're talking
details,
about some of the sets.
Eric Code 614. I see you. I will probably get to you when I come back from this second intermission break, and we'll discuss more about the ins and outs of casual sex interactions between single men and single women. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Ranchicuri of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Available at McClendonReport.com. How to find a good black man. How to find a good black man. How to find a good black man. How to find a good black man.
available at McClendonReport.com.
Hey, this is Hill Harper, and you can be the difference in the life of a child. Be big. Volunteer with Big Brothers Big Sisters. Do it today. The kids need us. Go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger. Now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my open forum discussion about casual sex, the three-date rule, and Steve Harvey's 90-day rule on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My voice sounds a little, I don't know, weary because I got a little bit of a head cold, so it's not as sharp, a little scratchy in spots. But tonight, if you just tune into the show, tonight we're talking about casual sex. Now, you know that always provokes different opinions, different perspectives from the two genders, men and women. Men have totally different thoughts about casual sex than women do. One of the things we're talking about, one of the rules that has been employed by many single men is the three-date rule, which basically states that if a woman doesn't give up the poo nanny by a third date, that the man should move on. One thing I want to start talking about now is another rule that a very popular comedian and radio personality in his own right, Steve Harvey, he has a book entitled Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. In one of the chapters of his book, he encourages women to hold off 90 days. 90 days. But before I get into all that, before I left for the break, I want LB. Oh, I'm sorry if you just tuned in. You don't know who my guest is. My guest is the charming, charismatic, considered the sexiest man in radio. His name is L. Albert Butler. He got like 55,000 friends on Facebook, and all but 20 of them are women. I'm one of the 20 male friends he got on Facebook. But this brother, he's a cool brother. He's on the show with me, and we chatting it up, and he mentioned that he's been to the hedonism event, brother, in at least 2 minutes or so. Tell me about the hedonism event.
Man, it's actually funny because I was down there for a modeling competition in which I finished last. it was at Hedonism 3, which is in the Grill, and I'd been to some of those resorts that are owned by the same company, but never that one. And I went there, and it's as advertised. I mean, it is, you know, they call a nude side and a prude side. There's a side where everyone is nude all the time, and then there's a side where people, you know, wear bathing suits or whatever most of the time. And at night, they have parties that encourage interaction. And it's basically, you know, people go there, whether they're couples, whether they're straight or whatever, people go there to get it. And You got to be careful, though. You have to be careful because my roommate, the dude I was staying with, one of the other contestants in the competition, he almost ended up with a bad night. He saw these two women from Eastern Europe. We think they were Russian. We're not sure because they didn't speak any English. But they were making eyes at him, and there was two of them. They always were together. And he was like, yo, they keep looking at me. They keep looking at me. So he went over and danced with them. He danced with them, and, you know, they was, you know, definitely feeling all up on them in the club. And they were motioning, like, you know, come back with us. And he said, oh, I will. I just have to get my stuff. And they were at the door. He came back over, and one of the guys grabbed him and said, man, where you going? He said, I'm about to leave with them two girls. You saw how they was rubbing on me. He was like, man, you better not leave. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, that one over there, she got a thing. What?
What?
She got a what? Yes. He's like, I saw her naked earlier. She was naked sunbathing, and she's got a man's bottom.
Oh, snap.
Yes. So all that glitters is not gold and hedonism.
Oh, Lord. That is deep.
Yeah, yeah. My man looked just like 50 Cent, too. It was kind of funny. But you got to be careful. But there were all kinds of people that came, black, white, from all different parts of the world, you know, gay and straight, and swingers, whatever. But people come there, they know what the deal is, and people are ready. People are ready.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And this was, I was only there for a holiday weekend, and I saw people do all kinds of things that I just met. Public, it didn't matter.
Mm-mm-mm. Hey, now, you know, I meant to do something when we were going to the break. I don't know if you've listened to any of my previous shows, LB, but it's become a tradition on my show. Any guests I have, number one, I don't know how familiar you are with my book, but I have a book called Mode One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking, which encourages single men to let women know their romantic and sexual desires in a very upfront, straightforward manner, which is where the title of this show comes from. But anyway, it's got to the point where all my guests, they stretch out the O's in the mode, and they say, Mode One. So I want to hear LB do his rendition of Mode One.
Mode One. How's that?
Mode One. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode One. Up front, straightforward.
Mode One. Alan Roger Curry.
I usually do that right as I'm going to my second intermission break. I appreciate you doing that, LB. Now, speaking of Mode One, I would assume at an event like Hedonism, you could pretty much approach women and lay your program on the table without them giving you faces and all that stuff.
I tell you the truth, man, I was a complete failure, man. There were probably three women or so that I thought, you know, I was attracted to. One was a model in the competition, and two others happened to be people that were there. And we had initial conversations, but it's not an environment for me. I'm not someone who talks fast and moves fast kind of thing. And before I knew it, they was already taken with someone else who would move faster. And I just, every time I looked up, man, I felt like, you know, the LTD song, every time I move, I lose. It was like, every time I looked up, man, someone else was holding hands. I was like, I give up. So, I mean, and that was in the first 2 days, and then after that, I just said, forget it. I'm not going to be here but another 36 hours anyway. I'm just going to go get tan and rejoin the black race.
Wow, that is interesting. Well, area code 614, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my special guest, L. Albert Butler from WURD in Philadelphia. What's your question and or comment? Hello? 614, going once, going twice. They got verbally shy.
614, isn't that like Nashville?
Huh?
I think that's like Nashville, isn't it?
No, 614 is actually Ohio.
Oh, that Ohio,
is,
okay.
That is like, I think, Central Ohio. And they've been waiting all this time. And then when I opened up the mic, all of a sudden, I bet you it was a woman. She wanted to say something. Because they were... Man, 6ix9ine was setting them off in the chat room. Had women.
Yeah, I got some text messages on 6ix9ine too. So you know.
Yeah, they was ready to hang on 6ix9ine. I bet some woman was calling in, getting ready to go off on him. Then she lost her guts and hung up. But okay,
but see, women have to appreciate folks when they come out and get the honesty. They don't have to agree with it, but they have to appreciate it, because all the other times they talk about, well, I wish he had just been up front. Well, with 6ix9ine and cats like 6ix9ine, you know that you're going to get it up front, and it's up to you to deal or not deal. And you can't say you didn't know.
Exactly. That's what I'm all about, man. If whatever my interest is, whether it's a one-night stand or 3.5 months of casual sex, I'm all about letting women know exactly what I'm really thinking. Somebody in the chat room said they had called in. Now we're going to move from the – oh, wait. Here it is again. 614, I see you here this time. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my new road dog, Ace Buddy, L. Albert Butler. What's your question and comment?
Hello, AC. It's not nice to keep a lady waiting.
Oh, ain't that? See, I knew there was going to be some attitude in this one.
Well, you can just call me out on the show like I got shy. You know I didn't get shy.
Well, see, I didn't know it was you, this diva 36.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even know what
I like her already.
Oh, LB, she's a character, man. She'll let you know what
she got
really
enough lip for both of us.
I don't even know where to begin with this conversation. I do have a question, though, for LB to go back to the beginning of the interview when he talked about his rule and by the third date, if a woman hasn't gone down on him, she's gone. Do you apply that same rule to the women that you date?
Do you mean do I reciprocate?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. I got a goatee that connects.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. And not only that, if she act right, maybe by 4 or 5, she might have some salad for dinner.
Oh, salad. Up the salad.
The only thing that's off limits to me are the toes. Other than that, it's all good.
Well, you can't be dating women that got jacked up toes. They've been looking like they...
No, I just don't do toes. It don't matter what it looks like. I'm against toes. I wish people didn't have toes. But beyond that, I'll even rub the arches. It just ain't no toes involved.
Well, they must have pretty toes then.
No, I've seen the prettiest of toes. It don't matter. It's just, to me, toes, I know where they go. I know where they've been. I don't want no parts, especially women who wear flip-flops, whatever. I don't want no parts, no toes.
Hey, LB, before I let you two go on, I don't want to be presumptuous with you. I want to ask you a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my shows run around about 90 minutes, but if I have a good flow, I extend it by 20, 30 minutes. So I'm just going to ask you, are you down if I go in and extend it to go to, say, about 10 till or so?
I got some time. I got time for you.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's continue with the conversation. Go ahead, Adrian.
My next comment and about what you all were talking about in terms of the three-date rule, at what point then do men fall head over heels? Because if you all are going into this and by the third date, you're not even giving yourself an opportunity to get to know who these women are. And 6ix9ine, we'll come back to him in a minute.
Well, part of the getting to know you is the sex. That's part of it. It's part of the whole process. There's a process to getting to know someone. And for me, like I said, I don't have a third date rule. I've had sex after. I've waited till after the third date, and I've had sex before the third date. So it don't matter to me. It's all about when two people decide that they want to have sex. I think that's the point. They should have it. I don't think you should have artificial barriers put in place where two people, like one person saying, oh, I really want to have sex, but I can't because it's only day 24. I think that's stupid.
Oh,
but
man,
beyond
that, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, but beyond that, it's just, you know, people get to know each other. For me, though, I wasn't married, but I did have an 8-year relationship. And after that, for me, you know, time became important. And I'm not going to sit here and waste, you know, 3 months with someone waiting to sleep with them and then sleep with them and find out it's whack and now we can't be together because one part of who you are isn't going to work with who I am. And I don't even necessarily mean it to be that they're bad in bed. It's just sometimes two people are not physically compatible, and I need to find that out as soon as possible because if you're not physically compatible, there ain't no other compatible to be as far as a romantic relationship.
Wow. So after 3 months of getting to know someone, you felt, and the sex is not good, you feel that you've wasted your time as opposed to teaching and mentoring and getting that person to where you need them to be sexually.
Sometimes you can't teach a mentor. I'm all for being taught something new, and I'm all for expressing myself and hoping that elevates somebody else. But I can't. Sometimes two people just don't work. You know, sometimes just two people have different ways of doing things, and it's not going to jive. And there's no right or wrong in that. It just means that it's not a match. And that's okay.
And I agree with you, but I.
But I'm just saying, I need to find out it's not a match as soon as possible, so I'm not sitting around waiting to see if it's a match.
So then, in essence, you don't have a 3-date rule. You'll do it beforehand.
I told you I have no rules. I have no artificial time parameters. I don't believe in that. I just, you know, I'm someone who goes with the flow kind of thing. And if I'm with someone and both of us want to wait, it's cool. If both of us want to get right to it, that's cool too.
But
it's
you just said
happens.
By waiting, that's wasting your time.
No. But what I'm saying it's a comfort level. I didn't say waiting necessarily is a waste of time, but it can be. What I'm saying is that if someone is saying that I'm only waiting 3 months because I wait 3 months and not for any other factors, that's the part to have a problem with. Because I think two consenting adults can agree to have sex at any time that they want to, and having some kind of artificial time limit or time parameter just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I agree it doesn't need the time parameters on it, but I think that you can absolutely get to know someone without having sex with them. And if
sure
that sex, if that sex in your mind is not good and that person is, you feel, maybe the right one for you, then I think you need to put a little more effort in it to make that relationship.
Now, Adrian, you're changing the complexion of the conversation. Now, we're not talking about looking for a wife here.
No, I didn't say that. I know it went back too, but my question was, when you all were talking about the 3-date rule, at what point does the relationship piece kick in for men? Because 6-9 just went
well,
on.
Sometimes
sounds
it
sounds like it never kicks in for 6-9. I don't know how.
It may not.
Okay, well,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, I was going to let you finish, but I'm going to bring in 6-9. Oh, he just hung up right when
oh,
I was going to bring him back in the conversation.
Can he get a verbal shy? Can he get a verbal shy?
Can he? No, I don't think he verbally shy, so I would say he had technical difficulties.
Oh, I got a verbal shy. He got technical difficulties. Okay.
Oh.
I'm sorry, LB. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of
thought. No. It's good, man. It's all love. I think when you're dealing with that, it's not about necessarily looking for relationships. I think a lot of times when guys start from the beginning, they have an idea of the woman possibly being in relationship material or not. Sometimes people get involved with each other just for sex, and sometimes people get involved because they want to see where it goes. Now, if it's to see where it goes, if you're in that position, then you might be open to different things and waiting a little longer. But if you saw someone and just knew for whatever reason that you decided this is not someone you're going to have any significant interest in, then those kind of 3-day rule kind of things kick in. It's like, well, why am I wasting my time here? Because it's not going to be anything anyway. Whereas, you know, someone could meet someone and be completely blown away, and that guy would be willing to do whatever she says to wait for that moment. And, you know, most guys, if they run it bad enough, they'll play the game as long as they have to get what they want. That doesn't mean that the girl at the end is getting what she wants. It just means the guy's willing to wait and be whoever he needs to be to get it. That's what women have to be careful for about those time frames. Like when Steve Harvey says wait 90 days, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily getting to know each other better. That just means the guy plays the game for 90 days to make sure he gets it at the end of the 90 days. So
exactly.
just because you play the 90 days doesn't mean that you're getting what you want. That's what I'm saying. You have to be very careful about that whole getting to know you thing, and it's genuine and real. And I think sometimes after you have that initial sex, sometimes guys will let their guard down a little bit more, and you might get to actually know them better after sexual intercourse because they might feel like they're in an emotional place to share with you, as opposed to what they are before that, which is a guy who just wants to get in your pants.
So at what point do men, and I'm generalizing, determine that they want to have sex with a woman? Because, you know, they all women
she,
know immediately.
When she gets slapped on the ass?
So you just walk up to women and smack them on the ass when you're in the club?
No, right? I mean, I was making a joke about when women are born. That's when men know they want to sleep with them or not. Men always, for men it's immediate. In most cases, sometimes a woman can grow on a man after some being around them, like, say, a coworker that they may not have initially had attraction to, but just being around closely over a period of time, it may create an attraction there. But most times men know instantly, walking down the street, I want to sleep with her. I don't want to sleep with her. It's that immediate.
Just based upon looks.
Initially, that's what attracts them. That's how it works.
Yeah,
that's
Adrian,
why
I would even say
that. Feathers.
90% of the time, I'm speaking for myself here, if my interest definitely is in casual sex, I usually know within the first interaction whether or not I want to tap that ass or not. Now, you know, if it's more, if you're talking more of a relationship thing, that's when a woman tends to, a lot of times, has to grow on me, and I got to see different aspects of a person. But if I'm just purely looking for orgasmic pleasure, I'm not looking for a next girlfriend, next, or a future wife, just looking for, I know that within, yeah, within the first few minutes, pretty much as soon as I see the woman. Because most casual sex, and even women have told me this, so this is not just a man thing. Most women I've talked to about casual sex, they'll say when their interest is specifically casual sex, the most predominant factor is looks. It ain't intelligence or sense of humor and all that other stuff.
You know, and Alan, and you say that, and, you know, what I heard when I heard the question was a little, so it's all about looks? Like, you know, like it's just us. When I know that I got an email from someone not even that long ago that said, Albie, I know you don't know me, but I saw a picture of you, and I'm just saying you make me drop my one no sex on the first date rule. So all she saw was a picture, and she said that I could get it. So it's not this whole physical attraction thing isn't just a one-way street. It's not just the men who's saying that. You know, it's definitely how we are built.
Oh, I can vouch for you, LB. I had about 10 female listeners told me that they were going to drop their one day and all their 90-day rules and stuff.
No, they
and,
didn't. No, they
but,
didn't.
Hey, Adrian, I'm not going to keep you online too long, but since I see that, at 202, I see you. 202, I see you. I'm going to get to you in a second. But since you're going to be all sassy, I'm going to bring back on 6ix9ine for you to either ask him a question or make a comment to him. Let me see. 6ix9ine, I got you back.
You got me back, but I'm actually 202. I wanted to call back and see if you'd take the 202 call because this phone's
okay.
About to die.
No, I was going to take you when I saw you before, but then you dropped off. Okay.
Yeah.
So 6ix9ine, I'm going to introduce you to one of my loyal listeners, Adrian. And Adrian, what's your question and or comment for 6ix9ine?
Well, I
do you have me on the 202?
But I hear some background noise.
Yeah,
can that be the
background going on?
Okay. All right, go ahead, Adrian.
I guess 6ix9ine made the comment that he had been married before, and I guess I want to know if his wife exercised the 3-date rule.
Wait.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you?
Okay. What was the question, Adrian?
That you said that you had been married before, so I was just interested in knowing if your wife exercised the 3-date rule.
Absolutely not. It was the first date.
Wow. Okay. And you married her?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, I met my wife. We went out, had a great time, and I got married. I asked her to marry me 3 weeks later.
Really?
And you're divorced now. Hmm.
I am divorced now.
No, see, that's not right. That's not right. That's not right. That puts an unfair judgment on a woman who made a decision at the time that was mutual with the man that she was with.
Who said I was making the judgment towards the woman? I might have been making the judgment towards him.
But either way, but you're saying what you say was like you slept with him.
From a woman, I would believe that.
With her, that's what you get.
Wait. Coming from a woman, I totally understand that because women always want to make it seem like it's a man's fault when a relationship falls apart. You know, especially, you know, even when a man is coming correctly, women cannot admit, embrace the fact that 9 times out of 10, most of the drama is caused by their chain trying to change a man. But I know that's an entirely different show, Alan. I'm not going to go down that road, but... when it comes to the casual sex and everything, casual, yes, it can start out that way, but I absolutely agree with what LB said. I have a woman undressed and in my bed within 3 seconds of looking at her, and that's most men. We strip you down. You know, a woman walks by us, we have her naked and in whatever twisted position that our mind wants to have her in that first glance. So when it comes to sex, we're there automatically. That's the way we do. Just like women, within 5 minutes of talking to a brother, they can make a decision on whether or not that brother is sleeping with material, to say it nicely. You know, women sit over there, no, I want intelligence and articulate, and I want, you know, the roughneck or whatever their, you know, standards are at that particular moment in time, because we all know women change from moment to moment. But whatever their standards are, they'll change it, and that's what they hit. Everybody knows that. Everybody looks at someone, and they'll look at a woman and say, yeah, I'll hit it, or not. Women will look at a man and say, yeah, I'll let him get it, as long as he doesn't say anything stupid. Between now and the time I decide to give it to him, he can get it, or they put us in the friend zone, or it's the hell nah zone. Now, go ahead, Adrian. Did you have, you know, yeah, I actually, before, you know, I met my wife, and, you know, we went right down that path, and everything was beautiful and magical, and the brother's nose was wide open, but have I learned my lesson? Yes.
Okay, so point made. You learned your lesson.
I think so.
Okay, Adrian. Well, as always, I appreciate you calling in and expressing your opinion, because I know you always have an opinion, but much love to you. I'm going to go with, I want to say, area code 313, which I believe that is Detroit. 313, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my special guest from Philadelphia's WURD Radio, LB. What's your question or comment?
Huh?
Hello, what's your question or comment?
What's going on the show?
You said what?
What's going on the show? What's the question?
Oh, we're talking about, you just tuned into the show?
Yeah.
We're talking about casual sex, and we're talking about rules. Should there be any rules related to casual sex?
Okay, yeah, something like before you have sex, what's the rules? Like, you must be clean, stuff like that.
Well, when you say clean, what you mean? Disease-free?
Yeah, and like have bumps
in
your pussy and stuff.
Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go. LB, I think we got us a crank call tonight. You cranking me, 313? You cranking me?
No.
What's your thoughts? Do you have casual sex?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to leave her alone. I don't trust that call. I think it was going to go on. 773, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my special guest, L. Albert Butler. What's your question or comment?
Actually, I had a question for 69.
Okay.
He just made a mention. I'm sorry. Yeah, he just made a mention about his wife. He learned his lesson. What exactly does that mean, that you learned your lesson? Is that why you think you might have these opinions that you do of women in relationships right now?
Wait, hold on a second. What, first of all, what's your first name?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Chris.
Chris?
Uh-huh.
Hold on 1 second. For some reason, my switchboard is now going crazy. And see, in my attempt to mute that other call, now I can't get of other lines unmuted. So hold on a quick 2 or 3 seconds while I try to get 69. Now, while I'm doing this, express the question again. What do you want to ask 69?
Well, I was just listening to his last comment that he mentioned once the young lady had asked about his wife sleeping with him early on and him saying he was wide open and everything, but then he learned and, you know, he learned his lesson after that. And yet he's had these opinions or comments, I should say, that, I, you know, some of which I agree with, some of which I totally can understand where he's coming from, but others I can completely not, because he's so generalizing women across the board that I'm wondering if that one relationship, like he said, being so wide open, has tarnished his view about women in general, about having a possible, you know, deeper relationship with a woman that's outside of just this sexual connection that he thinks he can put on these women off the first bat when he sees them.
6ix9ine, what you think?
And Chris, is the name Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, I love women. I love everything about a woman. I love the way your hips sway when you walk. I love the way your hair flutters in the wind. I love the way your voice sounds as you ask me a question. As far as learning my lesson,
I learned a lesson in not opening up and just being wide open right off the bat and not actually looking, if I'm looking for a long-term relationship, and that's what my interest is, I have learned not to sit there and just look at the outer shell and to dig a little bit deeper. This conversation happens to be about casual sex, and I'm giving a man's opinion on this is what I will get out of casual sex and how I will go about getting it. I respect and love my sisters everywhere. Every color, doesn't matter. I still believe in love, and I still believe in deep commitment. I still believe in the connections that men and women can bring to the table. My marriage didn't work out because I went into it just addressing my childish wants. As a boy, I wanted a cool chick that was talented in bed, you know, could hang out with my friends, could drink with me, was funny and all that. I didn't look at, is she a good mother? Is she a good friend? Is she a good companion? Is she looking in, are her goals the same as mine? Is she going to support me as I move forward in life? So that's where I say I learned my lesson.
Okay.
But I love women. I mean everything
about you. Don't get me wrong. I totally respect some of the things that you were saying. You were a little overboard with some of them for me. I couldn't quite relate. But, you know, in general, when you're saying about casual relationships, I can feel you on some of that. Yet, I think that by putting certain restraints on women, saying that, you know, women can't handle certain casual relationships, or saying men are only a certain way, that generalized conversations I can't quite get with, you know, because there's so many different dynamics in every male-female relationship, as well as males and females in general, that you can't say across the board that women are like this, men are like this. You know,
well, no, I really can say that because men are, I've hung around, I have male friends, we talk, and I know what our focus is. No, I'm saying, yeah, a man talking to you, you know, you have the beautiful voice and you sound like a beautiful woman. A man talking to you about what a man wants and needs and how we view women is going to be different than the fellas sitting around talking. And
I understand
so,
that because women do the same thing when we sit around and have our conversations. You don't hear quite what we talk about behind closed doors either.
Oh, I hear what you're talking about, Chris.
I hear what y'all talk about. And I'm sure Alan can vouch for it. But Alan, you've been on my page. You know that, you know, I listen to it all the time.
I will say this, Chris, and I'm not even saying this lightheartedly, and I'll let LB chime in too. I have found, at least from hanging around my female friends and acquaintances, they actually kiss and tell in more detail than most men do. Men will just a lot of times just say, yeah, I hit that. Yeah, I tapped that ass. Then that's end of it. If we talk period about it. Women be like, oh, yeah, girl, and then he had me bent over. Then he was leaning me against the wall. And then he was slapping my ass. And they just get in all the detail. And I'd be like, damn, y'all just be sharing all kinds of details. LB,
right.
What you think? Who kisses and tells in more detail?
It depends on the relationship.
Exactly.
And the feelings of the guy towards the woman. Because the guys can kiss and tell, but if they really think anything about the woman, if there is some level of care there, they don't want to give out the details because they don't want guys looking at their woman and thinking about that kind of stuff.
Exactly, I agree.
But
exactly.
Women,
I've heard so
many women say things about their interactions. Some good, but mostly the all bad stuff. But I know he didn't think he was going to do something with that, and you know, he ain't know what he was doing from the beginning, and really, really dogging some folks out. I know that they have no problem doing that. That's for sure.
Well, I think just how you said, men, if they really care about the woman, they're not going to put it all out there. I think women are the same way. If it's a casual type of relationship, then more than likely they're going to be a little bit more detailed. But I know from my experience that if it's a man that I really care about, I'm not going to tell my friends because the same thing. I don't want all of a sudden my girl.
Right. You haven't told anybody about us.
Hey, now,
there,
well, thank you for calling in, Chris. I'm running out of time. I'm coming down to my last 10 minutes, but I appreciate you calling in and throwing out your questions and comments. LB, now, you stated already that you believe all these things like three-date rules, 90-day rule is just stupid, and it's all about when you and the woman are mutually ready to make that move. Now, I think you asked 6ix9ine this question. I'm going to ask you, and I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. If you meet a woman that, say, you guys sleep together within 48 hours after you meet her, can that woman still be girlfriend material or even wife material for LB?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
sure.
Now,
I mean, I first of all, I don't judge those things. I mean, I know some people have judgments attached to time frames and sex and that kind of thing. I don't judge you on what you did. I know that I'm not the first person who came along. I know I may not be the last, and I know that if you are the right person, then I want to get started as soon as possible in being with the right person. I don't see any reason why I should have to hold off on some artificial time frame because what one segment of society deems is the way to go. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, I actually agree because I actually got it to it wasn't a heated debate. It's just a debate with a relative of mine, probably just around Memorial Day, because he made the statement that any woman who has sex with a guy, I think he said in less than 2 weeks after he knows him, is just a hoe and is in no way, shape, or form qualified for relationships. And I vehemently disagreed. Because,
I agree with you, man. She might be a hoe, but just because she does that doesn't make her a hoe.
I like the way you put that. I'm a matter of fact, I like it so much, I'm going to have to steal that, LB. But I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to say, man, my boy LB said it. But, yeah, I like that. But, yeah, no, I mean, here's one statement I always tell guys. I say one man's girlfriend material could be another man's freak.
Yes.
Because I've seen women, and I'm sure you have too, I've seen women say when they deal with Brian, might play the good girl role and make him wait 90 days, if not longer. But then that same woman runs into Tyrone, and they exchange orgasms, you know, first or second night. Yeah, I just agree. You can't pass judgments on women. Every woman is different. Every attraction is different. They just might see something in you that they connect and want to get down early, and another guy they don't. But, hey, man, I am coming down to my last 5 minutes. So tell my listening audience, particularly let's say that most of my listening audience doesn't live in the Philadelphia area, how do they find you? What time are you on your show? All the good stuff about LB and his radio show.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on, man. I love this. This has been a really good time. And you're going to have to return the favor, man, and come on and do my relationship segment with me sometime.
Oh, man, I'm in there.
Okay, because, every other
– already.
Every other month I do a men's roundtable where we get all the men, I get all my male experts together, and we talk about issues from a men's point of view and allow the women to ask us questions. So I think you'd be good in that forum as well.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And again, thank you for having me. Well, first off, I'm on Facebook. You can find me under L. Albert Butler. I'm listed. You can catch me on Twitter at AlbieDam. Let's see. Where else can you find me? The station website is 900amwrd.com, and there's all kind of information about the whole station and my show. You can also catch me on blog each week on Tyra Banks' website, which is tyrashow.com, and that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Oh, and wait. And my email, just my general email, is albradio@gmail.com.
Okay. Listeners, did you get that? And no, you notice he didn't volunteer to be anybody's baby daddy tonight. So, and if y'all don't know how to move y'all lips and tongue, y'all definitely ain't going to snag his brother. But, man, I've enjoyed talking with this brother. That, wait a minute. Before I close out, I want to ask you just kind of a simple question, but it might be complex, and hopefully you can give me a minute or two answer. But I get asked this question all the time by women and men. Who plays more manipulative head games when it comes to casual sex? Who do you think plays more head games? Is it kind of equal, or do you think one gender plays more head games than the other?
I can only speak from my experience, and I say women play more of the head games.
Okay.
Well, men can manipulate. Men manipulate, and women connive. So it neither has cornered the market on it, but it's tough.
You got these things, man. I like that. Men manipulate, women connive.
Just my own personal experience. I'm not trying to generalize because I know, both sides get all upset when someone generalizes. So I can't generalize. Just from my personal experience and my short-term relationships, interactions with women, actually most of my short-term sexual experiences with women, I wanted to be longer-term, personally. I was hoping something would come more out of it than actually did. I can't speak to why it didn't, whatever. So for my personal experience, women were more manipulative in those situations.
Okay.
That's just me. That's just me, Alan.
Well, that's what I want. I just want your opinion on it. Listeners, it has been a joy and a pleasure to have this discussion tonight, particularly with my guest, LB. And I appreciate all those who called in, particularly Adrian and 6ix9ine. 6ix9ine has definitely left an indelible impression. He got some people loving him and other people hating him in my chat room. But that's what this show is about, being upfront and straightforward. I hope you all join me again. Real quickly, next week I will have a woman by the name of Deidre Timmons. She's a filmmaker. She created this film called A Wink and a Smile, and it deals with the art of striptease dancing, and so that should be an interesting show. Then two weeks from tonight, I will be interviewing a guest by the name of Esther Perel. Esther Perel will be my guest 2 weeks from tonight. She wrote a book called Mating in Captivity, Unlocking Your Erotic Intelligence. Mating in Captivity, Unlocking Your Erotic Intelligence. That will be 2 weeks. And then finally, 3 weeks from tonight, I will have a woman who gets as frank as anybody. She gets raw and greasy and nasty and naughty. Her name is Dr. Yvonne K. Fulbright. She is a sexologist, and she is going to be on the show to talk about sex toys and masturbation. Sex toys for women and female masturbation. Oh, and just so you know, Derek Fisher just hit a shot. Looks like the game 4 is going into overtime. It's tied 87-87. There's 4.6 seconds left. But it looks like it's going into overtime between Orlando Magic and the Los Angeles Lakers. Thank you for joining me this evening. I'm going to send you out on a song I happen to like. It's called Make You Feel That Way. Make You Feel That Way. Take it easy. I'll see you next week.
Heard the daddy came, Rocky MKRSA, I had that tape, cooling out with old. out, man, it's real that way. When I think of things that make you feel that way. Mama got your first bite. Type of feeling when you went and won your first fight. How your team felt winning championship games. Celebrate in a huddle, dancing in this rain. Have a thought, see a shooting star across your screen. Put in hard work, finally you're living your dream. Deaf man get his hearing now, income vibes. Blind man gaining sight, see his first sunrise. Dumb man speaking out, now he's loud and clear. Birth of your child, smile so proud you wear. Going in your third eye, the nostalgia here. Making music that'll thump for 1,000 years. Eating right, feeling conscious like health is first. Said a prayer that's sincere when you felt it work. Times I feel and wanna shout, man, it's real that way. When I think of things that make you feel that way. Feel that way. All up in her vibe, something coming over me. Summer days more likely that you notice breezes. Winter days more likely that you notice heat. When I'm warm, more likely that you notice.